Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. In today's episode, we're talking about tomato's best friend, basil. Now, is there a greater pairing in the history of food than tomato and basil? Well, there could be. I haven't thought about this in too much detail. I tried to grow basil last summer and they never made it into a flourishing plant. And I am trying again this year, but it's not too late in the season, I'd say, for me to tear everything up and start again from scratch if it turns out I've got it all wrong. So, Elise, let's talk about how I can avoid my previous mistakes.
I didn't know you tried basil before.
Oh, it wasn't even worth talking about. It was such a disaster.
Well, is there anything we can glean from it? Or
can't remember? I can't really remember. It was so long ago. I planted it like around the bottom of my tomato plants, but it just never took off.
Right. Okay.
So scrap it.
Okay. Well, you know, basil is often said to be like one of the easiest beginner crops, I do not reckon either.
Okay.
I don't think it's the easiest beginner crop. I also would say out of all the herbs, it's the hardest.
That has been my experience.
Yeah, it's been my experience too, which is a shame because actually out of all the herbs, it's by far my favorite.
Mm.
So it's definitely worth persisting. It's not hard enough that I'm like putting it, you know, not to jump to the end of the episode, but it's certainly not wooden spoon material. But don't be disheartened if you've given it a go like you have and it didn't work because it's a little bit of a princess.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to lie. You know what I equate it to? Cucumbers.
Mm.
You know, the cucumber episode, I said, like, people talk about it being a beginner crop. No, it's not. It's harder. And, like, it's just a bit precious. Doesn't like it if it's too hot. Doesn't like it if it's too cold, you know, like too wet, too dry,
yeah,
blah,
right.
blah.
Okay.
Just got to be just right. I will say basil doesn't like damp weather, which may suggest that this is not going to be the season for it. Of course I'm going to grow it anyway. We should all grow it anyway. But if you do have trouble with your basil this year, just because of all the rain we've got, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit harder.
If someone has a spare pot lying around, would you say this is a good year to put basil in a pot?
Yes. Great. Definitely.
Mine's in a pot.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, well, I didn't even ask. Okay, so tell me about what you've done.
So I put in a pot. I got seedlings.
Okay, great.
From the nursery.
Mm.
I put in a pot so I can move it around. Mm. At the moment, it's sitting somewhere that gets quite a bit of afternoon sun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about moving it into somewhere that doesn't get quite as hot in the afternoon, but that's just a vibe. It's not like you tell me.
No, that's bang on. But at this point in the year, I would say you do want it in as much sun as possible.
Okay.
So the thing – so I'd actually say at this point you've nailed all the boxes.
Ah, there you go. After completely failing last year.
So let's go through everything and then you might like change how you manage it moving forward. But yep. I'd say to date it's perfect. The thing with basil is it really hates cold weather.
Mm.
That's the first thing to know. It hates two things. It hates the cold and it hates the damp.
Okay.
They're the first two things you've got to think about.
Mm.
We'll get into the literal how that plays out when growing it.
Yeah.
I can tell you got a burning question.
Nope. Let's it might come out in the wash. Okay. So I have grown from seedling on this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Do you go seedling or seed?
This is one crop that I don't have a preference for. I am happy for the seed. I am happy for the seedling. I'm also happy for the container grow and the direct sow.
Oh, all options. Okay.
And when I say I'm happy with, I actually sometimes buy basil seedlings. I sometimes go seed. I sometimes container grow. I sometimes direct sow.
Okay.
All of them are fine. I think it just depends on where you're at in your garden planning stage.
And I am at a phase of feeling like seedlings are working for me.
Yeah. Look, and to be honest, this season – I've probably bought more seedlings than I ever have in my life.
Mm.
So I get that. It also depends, like, if you know, if it's warm in spring and you think, oh, okay, I can get my seeds started, great. But if you're waiting until kind of the start of summer to put them in because it's been a cold spring, then you're probably going to go for seedlings. If you've got an empty garden bed, you might sprinkle a pack of seeds in. If you don't, or like you're going to plant them around your tomatoes, you might container grow and then strategically place them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just depends on what's going to work for you, but all options are on the table.
Okay.
The other thing that seeds offer you is different varieties. So we know one type of basil, which is the basil that we all eat and love.
Delicious.
That basil is actually called sweet basil.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other options for basil. So like Thai basil is another type of basil. That really needs its own episode because it's actually a perennial, stay in the ground all year round. But there's also a cinnamon basil. There's a lemon basil. So by growing from seed, you've got all these other basils up for option. I find these other varieties, there's a purple basil, a purple opal basil, blah, blah.
Cool.
They're hardier and easier to grow.
So why don't they make them seedlings?
Because they don't taste as good.
Oh, right.
So here's me being the person that's obsessed with the obscure varieties that you can't buy. Mm-hmm. I now only grow sweet basil.
Right.
This would be the only crop I can think of where I only grow the same variety that the commercials grow. It's just, I find the other ones, they have a lot of flavor, but they almost have like an oregano texture in. They don't, you're not just picking them for a salad. Like they're just a bit too pungent in a way. Mm. They're too flavorsome. Maybe the purple opal you could have in a salad, but the cinnamon and the lemon basil, it's more like something you'd like cook with, I find.
Okay.
So,
and you don't grow Thai basil either.
No, I do grow Thai basil. Oh, you grow Thai, okay. But I don't want anyone listening to this episode to apply this to their Thai basil.
Fine. Because
that needs a whole other
cut
episode.
It from your mind.
But yes, I do grow Thai basil. I love Thai basil. Thai basil's offensively easy. Let's come back to the Thai basil.
We'll come back to that.
So, the classic that you all buy in the supermarket is sweet basil. That's my favorite too. That's what I grow. And you can buy shitloads of sweet basil in seedlings, right? Every nursery's got it.
Sometimes you see basil that I wonder if they're all the same that has leaves aside size of maybe like a 10 cent coin, and sometimes you see them that it's like bigger than a 50 cent coin, which is gonna mean nothing to people who work overseas, but 50 cent coin quite big, 10 cent coin quite little.
Yeah.
Are they all the same variety but just a more mature plant?
Yeah,
definitely. Okay, fine.
Definitely. And you'll find that the smaller leaves are like more tender, kind of like softer. The bigger leaves will be a bit more pungy, kind of like rocket or anything.
Yep.
You know, the older it gets, the kind of more potent it gets. But yeah, they'll be the same variety. It just depends on how they're grown, under the lights, how much nitrogen, blah, blah. But yeah, so look, if you're new to the basil, I'd just say stick with the sweet basil. If you want to get creative, there is so many varieties out there. But here's me not promoting any of them.
For once.
For once. See, I'm not biased.
Where are you planting them in your garden?
Again, continuing with the theme this season, I'm going to start with they're obsessed with good drainage.
We just keep banging on about this.
Just keep banging on about drainage. So they really hate wet feet. They hate the damp. This is why I say they're really finicky, because they don't like drying out, but then again, they hate it when it's damp and they hate it when they're wet. So I, more than most other crops, root crops. So this these just have roots like every other plant, right? This isn't even a rhizome, but they just hate being wet feet. So good drainage is important. This is why planting them in pots is not a bad shout.
Okay.
Like you suggested, because that's a better, it's an easier way to kind of maintain or ensure that the drainage is on point. They really like plenty of sunshine. They like the warmth. But like the cucumbers, they can get a bit too hot if it's an afternoon direct sun. So I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but what I really like doing with cucumbers and with basil is planting them behind a crop that will actually produce afternoon shade for the basil.
Yeah, so on the west, the eastern side.
Yes.
So sun comes up, hits your basils and your cucumbers.
Yeah.
And then it hits your tomato.
Exactly.
And then as the sun sets, it hits tomato first, which was probably big enough to cast shadow over.
Exactly. And the reason I like using a plant as the shadow, like the tomato plant, for example, and tomato and basil are best friends. You said that at the start and you bang on. We'll talk more about companion planting a bit later. But the reason I like doing it with the tomato plant rather than picking somewhere that has natural afternoon shade from a brick wall, right, is because in spring right now when we're trying to establish the plant, we don't want the afternoon shade.
Yes, okay.
We want as much warmth as possible because we want that plant to grow as much as possible. And any afternoon sun in spring is not going to be problematic for our basil. So in spring when the tomato plant is little, it's not going to really shade the basil much, which is good because that really gives the basil warmth, get it growing. Come summer, the tomato plant will have shot up and then it will start shading the basil from that really harsh afternoon summer sun.
Mm-hmm.
So strategically, it's like when we need the shade, the tomato plant will provide it, and when we won't, the tomato plant's little. So that's a really, really, really good combination. Like you said, planting the basil on the east side of the tomato plant.
How much space do the basil plants need between them?
Oh, yeah, not much. Like a couple of centimetres, because really each shooty uppy basil is its own plant.
Yeah, I really didn't worry too much about separating mine a great deal when I was shoving them in the pot.
If I bought a punnet of seedlings, I would probably divide them into four and then plant them as like four smaller groups. But if you put the whole thing in, it's going to be fine as well. So, yeah, and if you're doing seeds, you're sprinkling them. This is kind of why I don't mind direct sowing them, because you're just sprinkling them like you would if you were direct sowing rocket or something like that, just like carpeting it and, you know, seeing what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
In the dappled afternoon shade, like what you've got at your place, Tess, wouldn't be bad for the basil, but I do think pairing it with the tomato plant or like what you've got in a pot and being able to move it throughout the seasons would be the best option. But a bit of dappled afternoon shade, if that's what it's got all year round, is going to be fine as well.
Okay.
Also, given they hate drying out, a self-watering pot is not a bad call for basil. I have grown basil inside plenty and it does really well inside, and I've always grown it in a self-watering pot. So I think, again, if I face it at a window that gets really good morning sun, gets the afternoon shade, the house is quite warm, which the basil likes. It's got the self-watering pot, so it's not going to dry out. It actually does really well against a sunny window inside.
That is a great shout for
anyone.
Indoor gardeners, small space gardeners, get your basil inside.
Definitely. And there's not many edible crops that really thrive inside, but basil is one of them in the right spot.
Okay, fabulous.
So self-watering pot is great indoors or outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
For more information on self-watering pots, listen to our indoor plant episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we cover them. But yeah, we only talked about them in that episode as indoor options, but actually they're just as applicable outdoors.
Well, we also talked about them as a great option for strawberries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So a lot of what we talked about in strawberries is going to be the same for basil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it does really well in a pot, because remember, we're in the leaf business when it comes to basil. And like I've said so many times, when it comes to fruiting crops or rooting crops, you've got to be a bit more finicky about making sure you've got enough space in that pot for the plant to do its thing. But with the basil, right, like a small pot, you're just going to get less basil.
Yeah.
So great
one.
And
small basil is still delicious.
Absolutely. So for small space gardeners especially, this is absolutely an essential crop, I think, as part of your summer garden.
Nice one.
Hmm.
What about pests?
Oh, I mean, look, slugs and snails.
Okay.
Especially at the moment.
So get your slugs and snail solution ready to go.
Get your slugs and snail solution ready to go before they strike.
Because once they strike, you're done.
Once they strike, you're done. I will say here, different to what I usually say. So when I'm talking about zucchinis, I'm talking about tomatoes, I am crapping on about get it in early, get it in early, get it in early. With basil, I'm going to say it's not a bad idea to wait a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't planted my basil yet.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. So I would plant my tomatoes 6 to 8 weeks before I plant my basil.
Right.
So it really hates the cold, like a cold night, and the whole thing's just going to go kaputs.
Gosh, I might just bring mine in.
Well, you could, although it is – like I think we have turned a corner.
Okay.
So if it's still alive now, I think you're through it. Yeah, I think you're through it. So two reasons why I wait. One, because when we think about tomatoes, right, or zucchini, we need that plant to get big. Then we need it to make flowers. Then we need it to make fruit, right? There's a long process it's got to go through. With the basil, not so much.
It's just doing its thing.
It's just doing its thing. Like we just need it We just need its leaves to grow,
mm.
right? So you don't need to stress so much about giving it as many months in the sunshine as you can. That's not as essential with a leafy crop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is at spring when it's cold, there's heaps of slugs and snails around. Like now it's going to be really hard to kind of get our basil growing. Whereas if I wait until kind of the end of spring, start of summer is when I usually plant it, it's warmed up, so the basil's happier. The slugs and snails have kind of decreased because the weather's warmer and it's not as moist. Also, that dampness that the basil hates has kind of subsided for the most part. So it's actually one of the summer crops that I just hold out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to kind of deal with the pest. But, yes, the slugs and snails are going to be the pest. That's really your only issue.
And no issue with, like, diseases?
No.
Okay, brilliant. No,
pretty easy. Leafy crops are kind of easier in that.
Mm.
Department, I find. Now, you mentioned it at the start of the episode, companion planting. So good things to plant your basil with is tomatoes, eggplants, beans, and oregano.
Okay.
Oregano, however you say it. Don't know. So basil is a natural pest deterrent. So like when we were talking about, I think we're talking about my spring garden and how I'm planting heaps of marigolds.
Mm.
The other thing I'll plant heaps of is basil. And again, I think it comes back to what you were saying about that really strong taste in the leaves, that aroma, the pests just don't like it.
We were talking about that last week with the ginger and turmeric. Yeah, so
exactly, exactly.
Just a natural deterrent.
Just does the job. So, look, I've never grown it with eggplants, beans or oregano intentionally, but I do almost always grow it with tomatoes.
Okay.
It just works so well.
Best friends.
Best friends. Best friends in the kitchen and in the garden.
And we do have an episode on companion planting. So
we do. Go back and listen to that. But look, if you did no companion planting ever in your entire garden except for one, I'd say basil and tomato.
It's an easy one to remember.
It's so easy. So easy. And I think the basil does great for the tomato pests. They both like the same soil conditions, the same soil moisture. You know, the tomato plant's going to offer a bit of shade. You can grow them really close together, like just like bang up against each other.
Okay.
It's not a problem, especially when you think about how the bottom of your tomato plant is quite naked because I want you trimming off those leaves. The basil plant doesn't get more than 30 or 40 centimeters high. So it kind of takes up the bottom of the tomato plant and then you've got the tomato plant
nice one
up the middle. So that works really well. Highly, highly recommend that. They say it makes your tomatoes taste better if you grow it near basil. I am not necessarily buying that as a reason, but, you know, can't be a bad thing, right?
Yeah. Do you have any tips on harvesting to ensure a flourishing plant?
I do, actually. Thank you for the reminder. Two things with harvesting is if you harvest – so each basil plant is like a single shooty uppy with leaves.
Mm-hmm.
If you harvest the top of that shooty uppy, leaving a couple of leaves further down – and you take that away, what the plant then does is turn those two side leaves into shooty uppies.
Oh, so it splits. It becomes like a Y.
Exactly. It becomes a Y. So what you can do is turn one shooty uppie into two shooty uppies. So mm-hmm. you're getting like double the basil.
Yep.
So definitely harvest it like that. Don't harvest the whole shooty uppie or you're not going to get any more.
Mm.
So go like the top half.
Okay.
Leaving a few leaves below.
And can you turn one shoot of the Y
mm-hmm. into another.
Two. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Okay,
so you make into little four. Y's.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. The second thing is if it starts making flowers, and we discussed this a lot in, I think it would have been the herbs episode, as soon as herbs start making flowers, they're putting the energy into reproduction, not into leaves. The flavor goes shit, not for it. The second you see flowers, cut them off.
Yep.
Just keep cutting them off. And basil will make flowers. It's mm-hmm. a guaranteed certainty. Just keep heading it.
Okay.
And the more you harvest it, the more it will grow.
Mm.
So don't – it's not one of these – it's not like pumpkins where you're like once you've taken all the pumpkins, there's never going to be a pumpkin again, right?
Yeah.
Like keep harvesting it continuously. Just do it strategically to create those Ys and get the flowers off. And you will have a really nice basil harvest all throughout summer and autumn.
Beautiful.
What will happen at the end of the season – exactly the same as the dahlias episode. You're going to get a cold snap and the basil's just going to die overnight. Mm-hmm. Before that happens, just harvest the whole lot. Just give it a haircut, whole thing, bring it inside, make some pesto.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because once that cold snap happens, it's going to go brown, wither up, and die overnight, and you're going to lose it. So you might as well just cut it all off beforehand.
You've just reminded me, I think when we did our perennial herb episode, we were talking about preserving herbs.
Mm.
And one of the things that we spoke about was blitzing them all up.
In oil.
In oil, yeah. And freezing them in cubes. So that would be a great shout. Love that there.
For basil. The two ways I preserve it are just, yeah, blitzed up in olive oil, or I make a pesto and freeze pesto, which is a great option.
Oh, you freeze your pesto. Okay, cool.
Look, I wouldn't, you know, in life, I wouldn't go to the supermarket, buy some basil, freeze some pesto, no. But, like, if I'm trying to, like
– preserve.
Preserve. Yeah, sure. And, you know, with pesto, right, like we – you read a recipe, it always says all basil. But you can use half basil, half spinach, or half basil and parsley or rocket or whatever other green you've got in the garden just to kind of, like, make it go a bit further.
Particularly if you've got – basil and parsley and you're blitzing it up and putting it like olive oil, the frozen cubes, chucking that in a pasta sauce.
Is
like,
going to be delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
Absolutely. So it's just another way to make it go further. But yeah, the point is like it's going to die. There's nothing you can do about that. So just harvest it all. Don't waste it. And you did well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ultimate hard and fast.
So we got ahead of ourselves. We usually cover off just in the care sections. Anything else we need to worry about in terms of feeding, mulching, any of that jazz?
It does love a straw mulch.
Okay.
Kind of like –
which you're doing for your tomatoes anyway.
Oh, exactly. You're right. You're doing it for your tomatoes. So you're just going to go around your basil as well. It like I said, it likes being moist. It hates drying out, but it also hates dampness. So the mulch kind of creates a barrier between keeping the top of the plant kind of drier and then keeping that soil moist. So mulch, straw mulch, brilliant. And then fertilizer, I don't ever fertilize my basil because, again, being a leafy crop, I find there's usually enough nitrogen in the soil. But if you needed to or wanted to, anything that's a high nitrogen fertilizer, so any seaweed emulsion, your worm tea, anything that says high nitrogen, not your tomato fertilizer.
Okay.
Having said that, though, like, I mean – they're in the same area.
Difficult to do one or the other.
When we talked about the liquid fertilizing, if you're watering the leaves, obviously you just water the tomato leaves with the tomato fertilizer and then leave it away from the basil because we don't want to encourage the basil to make more flowers. We're trying to get rid of the flowers. That would be the only negative I could see to having them so close together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you've nailed your soil, you shouldn't really need to fertilize.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. No, that's me done.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
The squeezy juice assessment. Tess has tried this once and she's failed. She's gone back for round two, which I think says something. But what are we thinking as far as squeezy juice ratio?
I am so desperate for this to be a best on ground. I can't even tell you. So this is take two for me.
Mm.
I'll let you know at the end of the season.
But after hearing the discussion and having failed yourself, are you still going to give it a best on ground?
What I think probably happened is it might have dried out.
This is why I'm so sensitive.
A few days away over summer, if you don't have your watering systems in place, you're screwed.
I mean, you are preaching to the choir. How many times have I said this on the podcast? Because, I mean, honestly, you could put in all the effort in spring.
Yeah.
And then undo it a few hot days in summer when you're not there and you've ruined it all.
Yep.
Oh, I will also say basil's one of these crops that doesn't love the overhead watering because it hates the dampness. So again,
it's finicky,
but it's so good. Can we also say it's pretty expensive?
Yeah.
So that's another advantage. Like one pot, buy a fabric grow bag.
Give it a crack.
A thing of soil, packet of seeds or a seedling. Like a container of seeds or a punnet of seedlings – is going to cost you the same as like one bunch.
Agreed. Yeah.
So like even if you got the equivalent of one bunch out of this, yep. you're and doing had a go. Yeah. You're equal plus, you know, the potential for more.
Mm.
Look, for me, despite the fact I have given you all the reasons why it's a finicky little prick, I would still give it best on ground.
It's just so delicious.
It's so good. And also we're all growing tomatoes.
Yeah. And they're best friends.
And they're best friends. And then like in a salad, even if it's just a green salad from the garden, like basil leaf just works so well. Pasta sauces, you can have it raw, you can have it cooked.
Fresh tomatoes, olive oil, a bit of basil and some pasta. Is there anything better?
Literally nothing. So
literally nothing.
So I'm going to conclude with it's the hardest herb to grow, but it does have the best.
The juice is worth the squeeze.
The juice is worth the squeeze for the basil. So look, and if you haven't put it in yet, that's fine. You might have even benefited the crop by waiting.
Yeah, and I do – I really like this idea of if you have a windowsill, a self-watering windowsill pot, I really like the idea of that.
And here's the benefit of that is remember when I said in winter, sorry, at the end of autumn, shit gets cold and the whole thing goes to crap. Mm-hmm. Indoors, it won't do that.
Yeah.
So you will get a much, much longer harvest than what you will. And then you don't have the blaring summer, you know, heat on it in the afternoon usually. Oh, yeah, look, grow it inside.
Give it a crack.
Give it a go. You'll love it.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.